Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Five-Star Zone with Rico Beard and Howard Griffin.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Five-Star Zone. Rico Beard, Howard Griffin. Howard, we just came off of the Big Ten championship game, and it kind of went how people thought, a Michigan coronation. Donovan Edwards showed that he didn't miss a beat. Blake Corum out of the game, but Michigan kept the running attack going. I still want to know, what is the speech given at halftime, because no one scores a touchdown, period. I mean, at this point, the D.C. should start giving TED Talks, because this works. I'm surprised he's not on the list of jobs for all the openings out there, Howard, because you know, it's the same script. Michigan kind of struggles first half, second half, they just put the beat down.
Yeah, you know, this was from a defensive standpoint, you know, Clinksdale, the co-coordinator and mentor, they both, you know, expressed some concerns and just how good this Purdue offense is. And really, they went on and on about Jeff Brohm and just his ability, you know, to put defenses in conflict so often. It also brings, it kind of makes you wonder, what if Jeff Brohm had a really uber talented team? You know, would he be able to accomplish? But, you know, they go in and they make those adjustments at halftime. And I think a lot of it, you know, is the reliability or relying on the players, giving them that feedback back, giving them feedback about what's going on the field in the first place. And they're just able to make those halftime adjustments. And not only from a defensive standpoint, but offensively, you know, they tend to start to take over games as well, with the big offensive line starting to wear people down.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is like death and taxes. I mean, Purdue gave it their shot. Charlie Jones had a pretty nice day with, I think, like 13 receptions. They just got down to mistakes in the red zone, and then they kicked the field goal. And I remember a lot of people – the sad reality, Howard, I think I may have watched too much football, because I think I understood what Brohm was doing when he kicked that one field goal to get the score to 9. Because everybody was like, well, you got to go for it. I'm like, well, you don't. You're still going to need 2 scores. So, but this way, a lot of people don't score touchdowns on Michigan in the second half. So instead of relying on 2, you just need 1 and a field goal. And maybe you get lucky with a pick 6, a scoop and score, or a busted play. But, yeah, I mean, the recipe for Michigan is, you know what, they just squeeze you. They don't let you score in the second half. And now, you know, they're the Big Ten champions. And then the next day, something interesting happened. 2 Big Ten teams made the college football playoffs. I saw it coming. You know, the second USC lost, you know, you heard the champagne bottles popping in Columbus. I mean – justifiably so, Howard. I mean, because Alabama and Nick, you know what? Hold on. I think Nick Saban's trying to join our show right now to campaign why he needs to be in the college football playoff. Did they make the right call here?
Yeah, I think absolutely they made the right call. You know, there was a lot of clamoring about TCU, you know, dropping to 4. You know, I really didn't see it happen. I thought coming into this game, as long as it was close, you know, they were going to be able to hold serve, particularly you talk about once SC had lost. And, you know, it's one of those things where they just continue to play well and they fought to the end. But then, you know, there's a lot of talk about Alabama as well. And yes, Coach Saban was all over the place, you know, saying or pleading his case for his team. Now,
I was waiting for him to join you on set down in Indy and just tell, hey, Dave, why don't you slide over? I need to talk to Howard and the boys.
Yeah, it was one of those type of deals, right? He was everywhere. And, you know, so I think from the Alabama side, too, I think I see what he was doing. I understand it. I think deep down he knew how slim their chances were, but I think he still needed to be out there pleading a case for his institution. But, you know, again, I didn't see Ohio State being able to jump to number three, although, you know, a lot of people were wondering what kind of matchup would it be. They didn't want to necessarily see it, but you look at it this way, ESPN, this is going to be their last go-around with the coverage for a little bit anyway until Fox takes it over, until after Fox's deal is up. So it would have been a heck of a deal had they been able to get it done that way.
Yeah, I thought about that. But I guess somebody sent me the deep buried in the bylaws. There is something saying that they tried to avoid rematches in the semifinal, which is, I guess, why you didn't get Alabama-Georgia in the semifinal. If they meet, it'll be in the national title game. I thought that Ohio State should have jumped TCU. And it really, to me, once again, I watch way too much college football. TCU, they just don't pass the eyeball test, meaning if I put Ohio State and TCU on a neutral field, who do I think would win? I think the Buckeyes would win. I'd be honest with you. If Ohio State and Alabama, I mean, if Alabama and TCU played, I probably would have did the same. Now, TCU did themselves a favor. They went into overtime. I think had that game, if it had continued to be a blowout, I think that they were done and they were out. But I look at them and I look at the path. It's a good matchup for Michigan. I think that Michigan, I don't want to underestimate them, Howard, but then again, I'm not a coach, so I can give all the bulletin board material I want. Michigan has a bye to the national title. Playing TCU was the perfect team because, you know, Duggan, you know, he's a cute story. He's fun to watch. He's gritty. He goes out there. He gives it all. But in the end, I just don't think that they have the playmakers to match up with the Wolverines and what the Wolverines are going to do. And even without Blake Corum, I don't think that you can be able to attack that defense. I mean, you're seeing guys like Will Johnson just getting better and better each game. Yeah, I do see that right now, in my opinion, I think we're at a path where it's Michigan-Georgia part two in the national title game at SoFi Stadium.
You know, Rico, I think when you talk about Michigan versus TCU, you can make the argument, right, that Michigan really got a first-place draw with an opportunity to play TCU.
So, yeah, you can.
It's just one of those things, man. It's going to work out for them. Ohio State, Georgia. Very interesting, you know.
No, Jackson Smith
wasn't able to answer some of the questions that they had versus Michigan. Georgia is closer to the style of play of Michigan than anyone else.
And we finally got an answer. Jackson Smith and the Jigba done for the year. So don't know what was going on with that young man, but at least we don't have to ask the questions anymore. He's just not playing. He's going to train, get ready for the NFL. I got to think that that's a bit of a blessing and a curse for the Buckeyes. Yeah, you would love to have him there, but now at least you know he's not there. Marvin, you're the main guy. Step up to the stage. Go out there and let's see what happens. Because, yeah, I'm very interested to see how Ryan Day recovers, because the last thing that we saw, it got embarrassing in the second half against Michigan. And honestly, I think that maybe Coach Day took it a little too personal, where he made it the game personal and wasn't business. And you hear sometimes, I remember it was a phrase Coach D'Antonio used to say a lot, where you got to keep the lion in the cage, meaning you can't get emotional, you can't get – and that's all Ohio State players were saying, like, we live for this moment, we got scars and we got this. And it's like, well, guess what? You got more scars now because you went through the same thing at home in nice weather.
Yeah, I think what happens, right, and I think that's the double-edged sword when you talk about, okay, we are revamping everything we do, and it really is about being able to get back to that point to be able to play Michigan, and you come up short. So now the psyche of the team, you know, kind of goes out of the window. What do we do now? Do we have to revamp what's happening? How do we figure out how we're going to be able to compete? Because remember, at the time they lost, you know, it was over, right?
Right.
So you can only imagine the mindset. So Coach Day and that coaching staff, they're going to have to do an unbelievable job of figuring out who they are and what they want to be in this matchup. Now, they've got a little time, but I don't expect schemes to be overhauled, right? You think about what they did and what Michigan was able to do offensively versus them. You know, there were some plays. You know, the defenses were called, but the matchups weren't great matchups. So their players have to be able to execute much better than they did versus Michigan, because if they don't, they're going to have some serious problems.
They will. They will. And it's, you know, Georgia, I mean, honestly, you're right. I think they should have been swapped. I think Michigan got the number one seed without being the number one seed. Georgia, I mean, Vegas line says that the Ohio State game is going to be more competitive. That's going to be the primetime game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun to watch, fun to see, because we may be talking. Howard, I don't think it's that far out of the realm to say a Big Ten championship game, winner take all, Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, honestly, this is what Bo and Woody dreamed of back in the day, that not only do you win, not only do you beat your rival, but somebody gets the ultimate, I can hold this over your head forever card. This is the ultimate. Yep, you can say all you want. We won the Natty.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I was talking with Dave Refson yesterday and Nicole Arbaugh, and, you know, we were really talking about how big could this game be, Ohio State, Michigan, for a national title this year. And I said, well, it would have to be bigger than 1-2, right? And Dave covered it up. You know, I was still following more of the pro game, but I saw, you know, following on the outside, but not as close as I am to it now. And he agreed. I mean, the way social media is right now, you know, the way sports are covered at this moment, it would be a monster game and do monster numbers. You can only imagine what those tickets would be going for something like that. But, you know, both of them have to take care of business first, right? And I think people will tell you that they think Michigan, we've talked about it, Michigan has their opportunity to be there. The challenge is what's going to happen with Ohio State and how they are going to be able to defend, you know, this Georgia offense. Because you're talking about, you know, arguably the best tight end group in the country.
Right. I mean, they're growing them on trees. And
one of them actually is a tree, like 6'7", 270.
Yeah, and he's not even the best one.
Yeah.
Bowers still has another year to go before he's even eligible for the draft.
Yeah.
You're right, but and here's the thing: the advanced line. If Michigan, Ohio State plays, want to take a guess?
What is?
Pick 'em.
Woo! Okay, that makes sense because you need the money on both sides. That's a good way to go.
Pick 'em. Right. You know what? You let the fan bases dedicate. Okay, who wants to put the money where?
Yeah.
We're gonna get into more of the bowl games in another one, but I do want to talk about something, Howard. That it's become its own day. Yesterday was transfer portal day. The portal opened up. And as of right now, when we're recording, over 1,000 kids have now jumped into the portal.
Yeah.
It was funny because before we hopped on, my producer was like, man, you know, there's a problem with the portal. They got to come up with a new way to structure. And I'm like, and this is just me, I don't think that they need a new way to structure this. Because the portal is what the portal is. I think you have a lot of kids making poor decisions, jumping in there, kind of thinking, oh, I'm going to hop in the portal and I'm going to be the next Kenneth Walker. I'm going to hop in the portal. I'm going to be the next Jordan Addison. As soon as I hop in there, Nick Saban and Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh are just going to swoop in and get me. And that they're going to soon find out that's not how it goes. Most people who go into the portal, like it or not, in their world, they take a step back. They take a step down. If you were a Power Five school, you may go to a Group of Five school. You're in a Group of Five school, you may end up going Division Two or an independent. It's when I see this, I almost want to just give a talk and say, fellas, don't jump into the portal unless you have a landing spot, because a lot of you are going to be what I like to call the transfer homeless. You play football. You just don't have any place to be right now. because nobody wants
you. No place to be. And I'll tell you what's crazy is you threw that number out at about 11 o'clock yesterday, 11:15. You know, I came across there were a little over 400 players in the portal at that time. So it just tells you just how quickly people are making decisions. And I gotta tell you something else. I think that one of the things that's happening is out of Colorado, right? You
know, with Coach Pride
running that show out there in Colorado, you have guys jumping into the portal that never would have thought about going to Jackson State, but are, you know, trying to figure out a way that they can land in Colorado. Now,
right,
you know, Colorado academically has some issues with taking a lot of transfers. Now, maybe they have relaxed the rules, and maybe they promised Deion that they would relax them. But the challenge with Colorado, one of the challenges there was they don't accept necessarily all the credits that are going to be coming from.
No,
I'm not just talking about players coming from Jackson State. I'm talking about anywhere.
Right. I mean, it's the same. They were talking about, because we had a couple callers talking about Michigan should go after people. I'm like, guys, Michigan is very, you know, they believe in the brand of their school, and it's very different. You could go and transfer, but think about it. A lot of their transfers, like the center that they got, grad transfers.
Right. That's what you need to be.
Yeah, Patterson went to Michigan and basically said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and nuke my entire academic career, start over as a freshman. Then went to the pros. He went back to Ole Miss and graduated from Ole Miss because he had the credits there. So you're right. At Colorado, it's going to be difficult. But, I mean, man, I've never seen a coach just kind of walk in there and say, here's the door. I brought my own luggage, and it's Louis. And maybe, you know, you just want to go ahead and hit that portal.
Yeah, you know, I went back and, you know, they now have his entire – speech up, because, you know, he's got documentaries going. They're recording everything.
Right.
They're putting it out on his social media and those sorts of things. And some of the things he was telling those young folks, you know, I don't necessarily agree with. But
no, I don't either.
I get what you're trying to do and what you want to do, shake things up. And maybe that's what they need out of Colorado. They need to shake some things up. But I'd say this is going to be, it's going to be a challenging situation, because Colorado is hurting for resources. I mean, they, you know, financially, it's not a great situation when you talk about being able to compete at the highest level and being able to go out and do the different things you're trying to do. Rick George was a recruiting coordinator when I was a freshman in Illinois. So I've known Rick for a long time. And, you know, I think this was a move that you talk about two people, Colorado, and then Deion, both of these guys needed that opportunity. And I think they've come together, and it's going to be a marketing machine. There's no doubt about it. It'll be interesting, though, to watch really once spring ball starts for them to really keep an eye on that program, to see just how many players are just going to be like, I'm out of here, or how many players are going to be trying to get there. So they're definitely going to have an influx of talent. And I think one of the reasons they figured, hey, we can run some guys off. And he openly said, you know, we're going to run some of you guys off. That's just the way it's going to be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
One of the kids asked the question, well, what about the injured guys? He said, well, if you weren't worth a darn when you were injured, then if they tell me you weren't worth a darn while you were hurt, you can just hug, kiss, and say goodbye. So, I mean, it's a harsh reality that he's got going on up in Boulder. He said, hey, when I get back, some things are going to be changing.
Right. I just wonder if they knew, because Coach Prime is Coach Prime, and hopefully you knew what you were getting when you got him. And I would say when they hired him, but, you know, I think it was either the president or the athletic director saying, we don't know where we get the money from, but we'll find the money. Like, did they just get Deion on layaway? Like, that was a strange – it was just some strange comments. But, yeah, I think – I just hope that they're ready, because every coach kind of brings their little quirks with them. And the things that the fans love are the same things the fans are going to hate down the line. It's like P.J. Fleck and Row the Boat and running down the sideline at the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's just him. And Deion is going to bring the personality. He's going to bring the swag. He's going to bring the cameras. I'm anxious to see how that relationship is going to work out, Howard, because either Colorado becomes this big time thing, or, you know, Deion's probably moved on in a couple of years to Florida State, where we all think he's going to end up.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I meant. I think, you know, Colorado needs eyeballs on them. You know, that's what they need. They need attention. They need to get people involved in the program. They need to start selling out. And like I said, it's not a great situation right now. So they needed a way to try to fix it and drum up interest. And I guess if you're Colorado and you're in that type of situation and you see what Deion Sanders did at Jackson State and some of as much interest as he's gotten there and surrounding that program, it's been huge. So you say, well, we've got a whole lot more resources in Jackson State. We may not have the resources that some of the other programs may have in our conference, but, you know, they expect to, you know, figure that out. But that was Rick George who said, well, we don't have all the money yet, but we going to get it. You're absolutely right. It's a strange comment to make, but I mean, that's the type of situation Deion is walking into, and he's got to be okay with it because they made the deal.
Yeah. And then I look at just the way the portal has hit the Big Ten, and teams are going to look different. I mean, we're used to the coaches going different places, but when you see Braylon Allen, Wisconsin, Graham Mertz, you saw Kay McNamara, he's going to Iowa. Eric All just popped his name in there. Like, these aren't like backups. These are some names that we all know. And it's like, wow, you know, it's like Iowa, because I guess, you know, Cade McNamara goes to Iowa, looks like Eric All may be joining him there. And Iowa kind of, I mean, that's a shot in the arm for the Iowa offense. I mean, they've already always put tight ends in the league, and now you got a quarterback, and, you know, he's trying to bring his buddy. Like I said, with Allen, the best rusher for Wisconsin, and I guess you don't expect him to up and leave. Like, I don't know. I mean, Howard, is it just simply you're – each kid has now become their own brand, and they're just looking for the best situation, and to hell with team and to hell with the program?
I think this is what you're seeing. You're seeing, you know, when there's turnover, when people decide they want to move on from a program because maybe they've been injured and they haven't had a chance to really show their wares, they say, okay, you know, this being able to go out and compete right away gives them that ability to pick and choose. But you're right, the numbers right now of the players, and not just guys that are disgruntled. I'm talking about guys that are starters. Right. You look at Notre Dame, kid starts 10 games, goes 8-2, and jumps in the portal.
Right. Right. I didn't understand that. I'm like, okay, do they have another quarterback coming down the pipe that he's afraid of? DJ Ungalele leaves Clemson. I think we all kind of saw that one coming. But Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State, JT Daniels is leaving and hopping back in the portal again. Somebody just needs to have a talk with that young man. It's not every other school, son. It just may be you. You may want to settle down and get a degree.
He's in a different spot.
Right. So,
yeah, it's, I think this year, it's really people, for whatever reason, coaching changes, playing time. We're seeing just so many young people decide that, they want to go and get in the portal and see what they can get worked out. And I think the other side of it too is you're seeing teams that, if guys aren't up to par, they're moving on from them. Yeah. And they're moving on from them because they now know that it's really free agency out there. you've got a database and you've got plays, you've got a whole department that's been watching these players, and you know that they're disgruntled, so you're already in there recruiting those players. And to me, the whole recruiting process, and this is where I think that NCAA is going to miss a little bit on this one, because when they start talking about tampering, the challenge is the really good recruiters, the really good recruiting coaches and departments, those relationships that they have with those players does not end when they choose a different school.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Because a lot of these coaches and players have been communicating with each other for so long that it's turned into a more of a friendship. And, something's going to happen. You're going to be able to go back and just say, hey, well, coach, or the college coach is calling the high school coach saying, hey, well, it doesn't look like he's too happy over there.
Yeah.
And the high school coach and the 707 coach end up being the intermediary to set up some of these deals. So, guys are able to hop in the portal and hop right back out when they're ready to commit to that next place.
Yeah, because I think the biggest name was Drake May, the quarterback for North Carolina. That was free agency. That wasn't hitting the portal. Now, he's still, I guess, as of now, at North Carolina, but it's a lot of smoke there, Howard, which leads me to think that if the right school, as you say, it's a lot of back channeling going on from 707 coaches to high school coaches to just people. And, hey, if he were to be interested in this school, I got to think that May realizes I've hit a ceiling at North Carolina. There's only so far I can go. And you look at, Caleb Williams at USC, who probably is going to end up winning the Heisman. He's already, there.
Mm-hmm.
Drake is going to be highly sought after if he goes into that portal, because he's the guy that when you look at teams like, Bama moving on from Bryce Young or something like, you got instant success. You got a defense and you got weapons and you add him. Yeah, I can only imagine it. And I know the Carolina coach was upset because he said a lot of people are tampering with my guy and leave him alone and stop bothering him. But there's really, as you say, it's a relationship. If I'm just calling and I've been calling you for years just to see how you're doing, how things going, how's your family, because you throwing recruiting. Some guys, it's just recruiting. And some guys, you actually get a bond with and you connect over certain things. And you just kind of like, hey, man, hey, it may be Marvel movies. Hey, did you see the new Black Panther movie? What'd you think about it? You're not talking football, but yeah, if you got those connections that maybe you're like, hey, coach, if I were to come there, what would it be? And if you're a coach, what do you say? No, stay there? Because this man can help you. You saw USC went from and also ran to a shot at the college football playoff. Now, once Caleb got injured in that game, it was pretty much over, and Utah made sure of that. But, yeah, if you get the right move, then, yeah, you become Kenneth Walker at Michigan State. You become, Caleb Williams at USC. But, Howard, for 99% of these kids, man, you just want to say, you do realize once you go in the portal, you're giving up your scholarship. And it's not guaranteed to you. I don't think that the portal can make it any clearer. Now, maybe that's just me, but I look at it to the point of, yeah, it's not the portal killing kids' careers. It's the kids killing their career. It's the bad advice. It's the you're the next blank. You're the next this person. You could be the next Derrick Henry if you go here. Like, well, if you weren't Derrick Henry at your first school, what makes you think you're going to be Derrick Henry at the next school?
Exactly. And, you know, that's the unfortunate part of it. And, you know, players, the reality is this, right? So you look at a class of, what is it, 25 that you decide every year?
Right.
Right, a third of those players won't play, won't be even major contributors to your team, and that's just the way it goes. It's hard. You know, you're recruiting each and every year, new players coming in, players are getting better, and, you know, a large fraction of part of that class doesn't end up being major contributors, and that's just the numbers that they are. So when you start to think about, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to jump to this place, and they're telling me I'm going to play right away. Okay, you still got to come in there and you got to be able to compete.
Yeah.
And if you know some of these places, you know, there people are going there with, you know, they're not even close to having their degrees at their first place.
Right. And then you also have the newest thing, which I like to call the take the money and run, where you get money, big check to go to this school. And all of a sudden, like you look at a school like Texas A&M, mass exodus. They spent a few, I think they said they spent like $38 million in NILs on the previous class, the freshman class from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of them hit the portal, Howard. Yeah. Checks cashed, cleared. And now it's like, okay, now I'm going to go pick the school that I always wanted to go play for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Pick another check.
Right, and go get another. And now they're saying, well, they paid me this. And I would have a hard time as a coach because I can't pay an incoming recruit millions of dollars. That's me, and I may end up getting fired. If you get there and you're C.J. Stroud and you put up numbers, son, I'm going to help you get millions.
Yeah.
But I look at a whole – I mean, just look at the quarterback position, Howard. I think the top 20 quarterbacks, the elite 11 quarterbacks every year, I think on average three or four actually turn out to be something, which means 16 other guys are going to get this fat paycheck and may end up at another school, at an Eastern Michigan, or just out of football. That's why I can't do it. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys that they're getting that big hefty money up front, and now they're jumping in the portal. I don't think that they're going to get that amount of money because I got to think, Howard, if you were good enough, you would still be playing.
Yeah.
If you know, I paid you $1 million to come in to be my top corner, why would you leave?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But there are programs out there, right, that all they need. And I think the reality is if you want to be in the college playoff, you have to have a difference maker under center. A guy that's going to be, can make plays with his arms, his legs, a guy that's going to play mistake-free football or just has that it factor. And I think that's what you have in the four teams that are going to play in the 14 playoffs this year. They, you know, some of them are incredible athletes and quarterbacks. Some of them just have that it factor and they're just winners. But there are other institutions that are right there on the edge, on the outside, saying, I'm just a quarterback away. I am a big-time quarterback away. And as you mentioned, it's going to be interesting to see where the Clemson quarterback goes because he didn't all of a sudden become a bad football player.
No, he didn't.
Whether he wasn't being developed because they made some changes. We never maybe got comfortable. I don't know, but that's going to be what coaches are going to be telling themselves. We get here, we can develop him. We know what to do with him. The system's going to fit him perfectly.
Now
maybe it will.
But see, now it also is – then it comes to the point where the bird in the hand. You have this quarterback, but, man, you got this other one who could be better. Do you jettison the one that you have because you're thinking, yeah, he could probably get us to 9-10 wins, but if we could get DJ in here. If like for me – I look at Spencer Sanders. I don't know how much Big 12 football you saw at Oklahoma State. His only problem, Howard, he doesn't know how to dial it back. He goes 100% at all times, and that's what keeps getting him hurt. Well, he won't slide. He won't go out of bounds. He takes the big hit. But, man, when he was playing and he was not injured, well, I mean, he was a touchdown-scoring machine. So, yeah, when you look at players and you're like, well, wow, we have this QB. And, I mean, you don't see it happen that often like Michigan did it with J.J. They had Cade, but they moved on to J.J. saying, I think he could take us one more step to pass where you could go. If you're a head coach, man, how do you look at the bird in the hand that you have and say, you know, let's just say you're looking at a Peyton Thorne and like, well, we got a shot at DJ. We got Peyton Thorne. We know what we got with Peyton. Do you take that chance on the new quarterback knowing this could blow up in your face because now you got a bad QB and you lost your other QB that you had?
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous, right? I mean, it's dangerous as it could be when you talk about whether or not a player is going to stick around. But, you know, the reality is, I mean, you mentioned Cade and you mentioned J.J., and I think if J.J. was a different person than who he is as a person, he probably would have walked out of there last year, not winning the job, right? And to know that, okay, I've still got to compete to win, he's a five-star that everybody wanted. And quite frankly, you know, even before he enrolled in Michigan, Michigan was not playing really well. You know, there was just rumors, and it never came from J.J. or J.J.'s family but he might not enroll. People were saying, well, they were rolling the dice. Like, why would he go to Michigan? Michigan can't figure out offense. They can't do this. They can't do that. But he was steadfast, along with Edwards, to the program. And now, you know, you can make the argument that those two are the faces of Michigan football, and those are the two names and faces you're going to see as we lead up to this 14 playoffs, and hopefully they are able to make the next step and be in a championship game. But, yeah, it's always risky with quarterbacks. You never know, because those guys are always looking to see, okay, if they're not 100% in, their handlers and people that are around them are saying, well, if things don't go well, this is going to be where we're headed. This will be our landing spot. So it's tough, but, you know, that's where we are right now in college athletics.
Well, Howard, I would say go ahead and get yourself ready because I think the Big Ten Network is going to be doing some shows from L.A. I think they will get at least one, if not two, Big Ten teams in there. I think Michigan, I think they're going to destroy TCU. And then we'll see what happens with Ohio State, but. Transfer portal, Howard, don't enter the portal, okay? Stick with me.
I'm not going in the portal.
Okay, stick with me. We'll come back on Thursday. We'll have some more stuff talking about college football. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure you guys keep subscribing. Tell your friends. Keep liking the 5-Star Zone. For Howard, I'm Rico. Thanks for watching. We'll be back later on this week.